Hello. Welcome to Bunta Vista episode 388. Here you are in beautiful, sunny Brisbane. The warm, humid air begins to bear down on you as you become heavy under the burden of your own existence. You wander the streets of the CBD and feel like a stranger not only to the faces around you, but also to yourself. There are jacarandas blooming. Delicate violet petals litter the ground like a soft, mocking laughter of a universe that doesn't know that you exist. Do you even know that you exist? Somewhere an ibis drags a half-eaten Hungry Jack's chicken royale through a shallow pool of 4x gold. For a moment, you see yourself in the bird, noble, tragic, and ridiculous. The skyscrapers shimmer in the late summer heat like an illusion of meaning, while the river snakes its way through the city with a quiet reminder that everything eventually returns to the sea. So you feel your chest crushed under the weight of your own absurdity. An oasis shimmers ahead of you, or perhaps a mirage. It drags you, wordless and unwilling, from the quiet pit of nihilism that you've made your home. You walk toward it, not with hope, but because you've forgotten how to stop moving. The four words you see ahead of you rotate in your mind like a grinding gear in an empty machine. Hey! Exclamation mark. I am Yogost. You ask yourself, what could these words possibly mean? The sentence repeats itself, slow, circling, fragmented and half familiar, but dreamed of meaning. There's an uneasy feeling that you no longer understand language, only the shape of it. The syntax suggests identity, the tone suggests joy, but there's no context, no continuity, there's no truth to grasp onto. You look down at your hands and they feel like props. You speak the words aloud just to hear a voice, and it startles you, like someone else is inside your own mouth. Hey, I'm Yogost. Again, the voice is cheerful, indifferent. It doesn't care what you want from it. It offers itself like an answer to a question that you didn't ask. You try again to pull meaning from it. Is it a greeting? A revelation? Perhaps a warning? It offers nothing, and yet here you are. With you is Yogost himself. Hey, Andrew, what are you selling here?
Hey, I'm Yogost.
I'll ask you again, what are you selling here?
Me? I'm Yogost.
Also with you is Yogost, because Yogost is eternal. Hey, Theo, what are you selling here?
Hey, I am Yogost. Hello. Hey.
So that's the Hey, I'm Yogost intro. Yeah.
You feeling so you've all right, Lucy?
No, I'm not doing good. I'm going through it.
people will get mad because the flowers, the jacarandas flower in September.
Yeah, look, they will. They're already
creative
mad,
but... liberty. Come on, give us a break.
Yeah. But also, it is I'm so wet in Brisbane at the moment.
Oh,
it is
so wet.
So
it's really
kind
nasty.
Of just like. It's so nasty, but it's not like a city like Cairns where you can kind of just go to the beach. You have to go to a different city to go to the beach.
Yeah, you guys just don't like have a nice beach.
No,
it's
we
kind
went
of fucked up. It's just hot.
We went out to Wynnum, which is a bayside suburb, yesterday, and they've got a big concrete pool that they fill up with water, and they kind of got the same thing like at Bondi Beach or whatever, but this one's just filled with like, I don't know, 10 centimeters of silt at the bottom, and we kicked up a dead crab and it stank like high heaven. That was the going to swim at Wynnum on the bay experience.
That's beautiful.
It's so nasty. Well, here
I do need to point out there's a shop here called Hey! Exclamation mark, I am Yogost.
Hey,
and I've been thinking about it for the past 2 weeks since I've been here. I just,
if you Google Hey, I am, the autocomplete,
yeah,
just fills in, hey, I am Yogost. They sell yogurt and rice.
Yogurt and rice. They sell rice and yogurt drinks.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I am Yogost. It's a global brand.
Oh, it's not just from Queensland.
One's from Sunnybank here.
My guess from looking at the website is that it's a Chinese brand of Chinese drinks. And yet, it sounds like an Eastern European vampire.
Yeah.
Greeting you in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Yogost is yogurt crossed rice?
No, Yogost is a man that should be played by Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Yogost is a man who wants you to get into his BMW 5 series and accompany him to a warehouse rave.
Exactly.
We have much MDMA.
Yogost.
How are we feeling? How's our energy this morning?
Yeah.
It's a weekend episode.
Yeah, we thought we had everything lined up last night with the kids. Like, so we went out to Wynnum to their aunties and uncles' place. We'll have dinner, head off at like, what time are you heading off with the kids in the car, do you reckon, at night time? Like 7:45?
Oh.
Yeah.
To go home.
To go home.
Yeah, earlier, right?
Yeah, and they just talked the whole way. And we had tacked 20 minutes onto the trip, just driving around the back streets.
Be like, they'll fall asleep soon.
You'll fall asleep soon. And after 20 minutes of just like trying to do like unfamiliar routes through our suburb, Caitlin's like, just go home. Just go home.
Oh,
come on.
I remember that. I remember just driving around aimlessly. You can like feel yourself let go of caring about the planet while it happens as well. You're just like, nope, fill it up. I'm driving around just suburb for another 2 hours.
I can feel okay in that because I've got the Nissan Leaf.
Ah.
Yeah. I put like a dollar worth of solar panel power in there.
A bit of sun juice.
Yeah, that baby will go around.
My brain's not working this morning, not firing.
Lucy, I understand you might be a little hungover today.
Just a little bit.
Oh, and sometimes when you're up late
yesterday,
having some drinks and you think to yourself, ooh, what I would love is some delicious pizza or perhaps a pizza, as they say when they're making New Haven-style pizza. And we heard a little more about that this week in our mailbag. It's time for the mailbag. 1-800-317-515. That's the Punta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Punta Vista hotline. You can send us an email. mailbag@puntavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter. You could even message Facebook, but we don't really check the Facebook, yeah. 1-800-317-515, that's the Punta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515, that's the Punta Vista hotline. So, last week we discussed New Haven missing from the list of best pizza restaurants in the world. Seems like somehow a deliberate snub.
A deliberate snub. New Haven snubbed again. Somehow a place in Scotland that does New Haven-style pizza landed at number 13.
A knife in the heart of all New Havenites.
That's right. One of our dedication to letting our listeners perform investigative reporting has delivered again. That's right. They report... You report, you decide.
And we
don't
pay them anything.
No,
it's really fun for us to read. And we don't ask them to do it, but we love it when you do.
They're just like, hey, I've got to drive across Scotland. That'll take me 45 minutes.
To go to this pizza place that I heard on a podcast.
You report.
Right, and that's what listener Fergus did.
Come on. Come on.
Come on.
They say, I've just returned triumphant from my visit to Siverinos, the Scottish pizzeria mentioned in episode 387 that allegedly does the best New Haven-style pizza in the world. This was my first ever a pizza. So I have nothing. I assume that they don't mean this is their first ever pizza. This is their
first ever
New Haven-style pizza.
So I have nothing to compare it to. Can't really comment on the authenticity, particularly the shape. See figure one. This is an audio medium, so you will not be seeing figure one unless we make it the thumbnail. I don't know how to do that. Maybe Andrew.
We probably won't.
Yeah. Maybe there's someone else who can weigh in on this. We ordered a pie with salami. Okay. What's that one?
I don't know how to say it. I was hoping that you would.
N-D-U-J-A?
Yeah. What's that always on pizza lately. What is it?
Yeah. And pecorino, delicious
sausage.
Sweet cheese, which is very tasty. It's absolutely gigantic, about 30 by 45 centimetres, so I'll be eating it for lunch tomorrow as well. The crust was well browned on the crisp of burnt, as is New Haven style. Because it's cooked longer, everything's a lot drier and the toppings don't just slop off your slice when you go to pick it up. The base has a very thick, crispy bottom, but then a surprisingly light, bready layer on top of that. As a result, the slices can actually support their own weight, which I always appreciate. See figure two. You will not be seeing that.
Imagine figure
maybe
two.
Maybe another style
really
pizza.
Good.
The toppings. It looks good as hell. It looks good as hell.
Yeah, it looks fucking great.
It's like an oblong pizza, very oblong pizza, crispy. All the toppings are like super, like almost burnt, like I said. Just sounds fucking great. Maybe in other styles of pizza, the toppings make the base too soggy so it doesn't get that bready texture in the oven. You get a floppy slice. As I said, I have no context for what an authentic New Haven pizza should taste like, but I'm somewhat left wondering where to go from here when I've already had the best of pizzas in the world. Categorically, it's all downhill from here. That's right. Yeah. In pizza and life. Yeah. Either way. It was a pleasure to be able to add more context to the story. If anyone needs a pizza eaten anywhere in central Scotland for any reason, I'll step up in a heartbeat.
Challenge accepted.
We will hold you to that.
Next time some Scottish pizza news comes out, we'll listen to it.
You never know. Thank you so much, Fergus.
It's a magical feeling to make a show such as this and to have these connections made where somebody just goes out and takes action in the real world based off something we've said, like someone should kill Elon Musk, you know?
Yes.
Like sometimes we say things and we just manifest them. Sometimes they happen.
We talk about restaurant. You go to the restaurants, we say kill the president, and you guys, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Just see what you want, what you feel like doing if you're in the area. Don't travel too far.
Yeah,
only if it's kind of like in your area, if you happen to live in like Lebanon, Idaho, or whatever regional place we're speaking about, you know.
Although, as we've said before, I feel like the concept of like what's a restaurant you would drive to is very different from place to place. Like you said, Theo, driving halfway across Scotland. Not that far, really.
Not that far. Yeah.
But it's probably very far to you if you're in Scotland. You know?
Yes.
But if you're in America, it's like, I will drive 3 hours away to a restaurant because it's what we're doing.
They do, though. Americans love driving.
They love putting gas in their truck and driving.
Yeah, I'm putting some gas in my Silverado.
You guys want to gas up the Silverado? Hours.
Yeah.
Hit the road?
I love gassing up the Silverado. Gassing up the Ram.
You guys
want to
go four states away for some
road trip?
Chili dog?
Four states away? Idaho dog? Idaho dog this weekend in the Silverado?
Idaho dog queen? Oh, boy. Look, America. It's a wide and stinky land. So much of it to cover. A place that exists and isn't really that big. The Netherlands. It's time to check in on the Netherlands in Dutch Watch.
Everybody, I'm from Holland. Isn't that weird?
So you're so good at that, because I would have just said Scotland is a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what another country is?
You know what another one of those little wet Dutch countries is?
Country
is Scotland still a country? What's the deal with Scotland?
We're going to get yelled at.
It is a country.
We're going to get
part of the UK.
Okay. I don't really understand the difference between kingdoms and nations is my problem.
Okay.
A nation can
be a kingdom though, right?
That's on you.
Yeah. Hmm. That's on me.
I don't think we should have countries.
Yes.
You know, I don't
think
they're made up lines. I don't need to know about them.
No more borders unless like that ends up affecting me in any way. And then just a couple of borders. Just around my place.
Just one around the United States and everything else.
Everyone else good to go. This comes to us from DutchNews.nl. First Amsterdammer gets his face back after 800 years. What a relief.
Yeah.
Phew.
Hate being faceless for 800
years. I bet he missed that,
yeah. He's just sitting around, like, checking his watch.
Yep.
He's probably forgotten about it at this point. Like,
can't whistle that whole time.
No.
Yeah, if you didn't need it for the past 800 years, you don't need it back, you know?
It's true, actually.
Forgotten what to do with it.
You weren't really using it.
Yep.
You weren't using it.
Give it to someone who would appreciate it.
Realizing that you don't know when you're making faces at people anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Someone talking to you and you just, ugh.
I mean, I have that experience and I assume Lucy probably.
Yeah, probably.
The oldest known Amsterdammer has a face and will be the star of the exhibition about the Dutch capital's medieval origins, which opened on Friday.
Okay.
Archaeologists found the skeletal remains of the man in 1963 when they came upon a coffin made from a hollowed-out tree trunk.
That is some Tom Bombadil.
Truly. It's kind of like a cave troll.
When they were digging underneath the Oderkirk, like Bob.
Like Bob? Like,
yeah,
Bob?
Like Bob, yeah, they were digging under the Bob.
Yeah, that's good gear. That's good gear.
In Amsterdam. They concluded he'd been buried there around 1200 and would have been one of the first inhabitants of what was then a handful of houses. Quote, Amsterdam hasn't always been the center of the world.
It's not.
No, it is now. It hasn't always been.
I don't think it ever has.
Yeah.
It hasn't always been the center of the world, and it never was, and it's not going to be at any point. You can't put that in the paper, though, you know? Can't put that in a Dutch paper.
What is the center of the world? I'd say it's Brisbane, Queensland.
Yeah, probably Brisbane, Queensland. If we're being fair.
For all things probably,
on balance.
Why would they have the Olympics there if it wasn't?
Why would they have the Olympics there?
Exactly. That's
right. Center of the world. Bustling.
That's right.
Heart.
Has Amsterdam ever had the Olympics? We don't know.
I don't
We're
know.
Not
and
check.
No one
There's
will
no
ever
way
know.
Of knowing. Nope. I don't believe so.
That comment was from one of the curators of, quote, The Birth of a City in Search of Medieval Amsterdam.
Fuck, they have had the Olympics 1928.
Fuck.
1928. That's not
I
the
sound
reason.
So
that's
stupid.
That's so old. That's those are the Olympics where they let them, like, take a little ride in a Ford Model T.
It's not real.
Runners got too tired.
Were they still doing some nude wrestling back then, you reckon? 20s?
In the 20s? I don't know. Maybe not. I feel like no nude wrestling was happening. No Greco-Roman.
Dutch contestants refusing to put pants on.
Just shirts.
This only started happening after 1170 when the first Amsterdamers settled here following the All Saints flood, which opened up the connection with the sea, she said.
Huh.
The year 1275 is seen as the beginning of Amsterdam when the name appeared in an official document.
All right.
Research on the bones of the man showed he must have died when he was in his early 20s. Skill issue.
Skill issue.
He was some 172 centimeters tall and, despite the city's nearness to the sea, a meat eater.
Short king.
Is that short? Yeah, it's normal. I think it's probably bang on.
It's shorter than me.
So I'm going to call him a short king.
That's the thing. You know, it's all about it's all about perspective.
I think I think he's perfect.
He's perfect just the way he is.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine to be a short king.
It's fine, babe. The really tall guys scare me.
Yeah.
Quote, we also know that he was sickly and had an infection. Don't put him on blast. That's
how they knew he was Dutch.
Yeah, it's just kind of what they look like.
It's kind of just like, all his skin was kind of like
really
sloughing
pale,
off.
Yeah, fucked up looking. I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. You're beautiful people.
Beautiful nature.
Beautiful, tall, willowy people. We know that.
Yeah.
He used a painkiller made of willow bark, which contains a substance found in aspirin.
He's smart.
Oh, he's smart.
Mm. Smart.
Kind of a doctor? Ooh.
Resourceful. Mm.
Ooh, you met a doctor? That's what people are saying back then, based off of rubbing a bit of a tree on yourself.
Yeah. And they're like, holy shit.
Nothing is known about the man's identity, but once the exhibition is over, he will have a name chosen by the visitors. You guys have got some funny stuff to do.
You sure do. Swati. Alex.
They give him his face back and it's black.
The researchers chose five names that were common at the time, and he will be Adam, Halloween, Nico, Otto, or Pia. You got to choose one of them. That's no good. Can't call him Faceless McFaceface.
I just double-checked the article just to make sure I hadn't made, like, a copy-paste error. They don't address that he doesn't have a face and now he's getting his face back at any point in time.
Yeah, absolutely none of this has explained to me what happened to his face.
Was it rotted off? Was it removed by a previous, like...
Was it somewhere else?
Exhibition? Yeah.
Oh, my God, you've got...
Did he die from being faceless?
Google this guy.
Have you got a picture of his face?
Yeah, just Google first Amsterdammer face.
Is he looking good? That's what I want
to know. No.
Is this going to be... I'm going to be pissed off if this is one of these... man, I don't
like
this shit.
Carrot Top.
He looks like Carrot Top.
Where they just where they have like surgery. A skeleton and they just build like a face on it and they say, yeah, that's that. I guess that's what your face looked like.
Yeah, oh, that's 100% what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. He's not really getting his face back. They just made him a face.
You just invented a face for this guy.
A new face, yeah.
What if he was just way better Dutch looking guy. Than this?
What? If, yeah.
Why don't you make him a hottie?
Yeah.
You know? If you can just make it up.
Just take, yeah. Some creative liberties.
Wow, he is the first Amsterdammer. This is Brad Pitt's face.
Yeah. First Amsterdammer, world's sexiest man?
Wow. The exhibition at the Amsterdam Archives is on until July the 6th. So, folks, get down there and tell us, what's he looking like?
Go see this guy. Go see Otto or Adam or whatever.
And what's the deal with his face?
What's the deal
Let
with
us know.
Guy's fucking face?
Do you think he's hot?
Yeah.
Attraction is subjective.
Would you fuck Adam/Halloween/Nico/Otto/Pia?
Yeah.
You know?
Even though he's sickly and he's got an infection.
Oh, yeah, but you'd have to think the infection's cleared up by now.
Probably. He That's used true, the willow yeah. bark or whatever.
Yeah.
He had an infection.
Put some bark on there.
I can say. Hey, at some point he had an infection.
Yeah.
Wow, there's all sorts of interesting things coming out of the region known as Amsterdam, and it's time to check in on another region called Idaho in Regional Bullshit.
Regional Bullshit. Every little town has got their own bullshit. Regional Bullshit. Every little town has just got to have it.
I think Idaho might be our most covered state on balance.
Most popular region.
We love Idaho.
It's just got a very regional name.
Yeah.
I think. And also just... a bunch of regional shit happens there.
A lot of real Idaho shit happens in Idaho.
Yeah.
Like this. This is from the Idaho Capital Sun. Idaho drivers will soon have two new potato-themed license plates.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good news.
It's all Idaho we've been talking about.
Idaho drivers will soon have two new license plate designs available to show off their potato pride. On Wednesday, Idaho government Brad Little signed House Bill 204 into law, which will create two new retro-style license plate designs honoring Idaho potatoes starting on July 1st. Idaho's standard license plates already display the words "Famous Potatoes." The Idaho Potato Commission does not receive funding for those plates unless it is a specialty baked potato license plate,
what?
Which is available to Idaho drivers for an additional fee.
Why do they have a potato commission?
The potato commission that takes a cut every time you get a baked potato license plate.
What makes the baked potato like so that so they've got a famous potato license plate and it's like cool.
Yeah.
That's normal, they say. That's a standard kind of license plate.
Yeah.
But
oh, it's
do you
got not a picture of a baked
of
potato on it.
Do you want to upgrade to a baked potato license plate?
But then a cut of what you're paying is going to the potato commission.
Well.
Are they good? I'm going to look up.
I like the baked potato license plate.
Yeah, I actually like it. It's really nice.
It's got, it's just got like, it's got in the background, there's kind of the tree lines and the mountains of Idaho. And then just floating, just hovering in midair like one of the spacecraft from Arrival is a big baked potato, and the top's just all kind of ripped
some
open.
Butter.
There's pat of butter sitting in that soft, fluffed up Idaho potato. And up top it says, "World Idaho Famous Potatoes."
Honestly,
I love
gorgeous.
That shit.
Mm. This legislation will create a total of three license plate designs available to Idaho drivers who want to showcase their potato patriotism, with the black license plates proceeds going towards the Idaho Potato Commission and the state highway account.
I think I just want to suggest that they punch that up a little by maybe calling it like patriotism.
Patriotism, yeah. You should have just committed and said patriotism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, go all the way in on it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. The bill was sponsored by Representative Doug Pickett, R. Oakley, whose family raises potatoes in Cassia County. It passed unanimously on the House side and nearly unanimously on the Senate side with a dissenting vote from Senator Laurie Den Hartog, R. Meridian. Bitch.
Voting against the
potato.
Why
are you dissenting against the fucking potato? What's your issue?
Yeah.
This is
probably one of those wedge issues where even if there's like serious problems with the bills, they don't dare vote against the potato in Idaho?
Don't say wedge issues and just try and pass that off.
Hey.
I think the potato commission's probably got too much power in Idaho, I'll be honest.
Do you know you can go to the Idaho Potato Commission at idahopotato.com and get recipes for the baked Idaho potato. And they're just kind of like splitting it apart and then they're putting you know, your traditional sour cream, butter.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. Meat, bacon bits, I'm on board. Cooked hamburger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cooked hamburger on a baked potato.
I'm down. I think a baked potato is such a versatile dish, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had one in a while. I love a baked potato.
You can do it up however you like.
If you're not a vegetarian, I reckon the baked potato starts and ends with bacon bits.
You can go anywhere. How about this? Baked potato with butter chicken on top of it. You know?
You're fucking crazy. No, that's too much. No,
you think that's too much?
I like just, a classic. I'm cheese and corn.
You could go Mexican. I'm just saying the possibilities are limitless. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to eat it.
I'm just saying some of the possibilities are bad and stupid.
Some of the possibilities are wrong.
There's a baked potato shop chain in Hobart called Pratey's, and their tagline is the ultimate potato meal. I think about it all the time. I've never been there. Okay. Every time I see it, I say to myself, Prady's, it's the ultimate potato meal.
There's a baked potato franchise, Spud Bar. That's what it is. There's a Spud Bar.
Have you still got Spud Bar? That seems like something that would only still exist in Canberra.
Oh, that's a bit rude.
No, I like it.
Elna cannot go past it. Like, any time that we're at the shopping centre and, like, go past the food court or we're getting food in the food court, Elna's just like... potato.
It's a great
time
lunch.
For a potato.
Hmm.
I think she only recently sort of realized they have the whole like salad bar and you can create your own potato. But then recently she was like started getting like the set combos, you know, where they have a little menu item up there.
Because they know what goes together.
They know, they've thought about it, you know.
They know potatoes.
Us is their business.
Hmm.
I have to say I really like the visual image that is conjured by the sentence, Doug Pickett, whose family raises potatoes in Cassia County. It's very kind of, it does make me think that they are riding around after them on horseback.
Are they putting souls in those potatoes?
It sounds like it. It sounds like they're bringing
potato
them up as part
with
of
the
their
human
family.
Spirit?
Too many
Indian
eyes.
Indian potato feels pain and joy?
I'd hope not. I don't want a potato
we're smashing
to feel
them.
What we're feeling.
Yeah, that too, I guess. You don't want to give a potato depression.
No.
Plus
no.
Also, I'm going to cook it and smash it as well.
Mm. Although maybe that'd be nice. I'd love to be.
Oh, like, to be cooked and smashed?
To be cooked and smashed? I'd love to be cooked and smashed.
Yeah.
And beforehand, somebody holds you. Someone holds you in a big hand and just pierces you all over with a fork. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cook me up with some cheddar, with some Monterey.
I don't know if you can feel any of it by then.
On field?
Are you a potato corpse by that point?
Did you just throw out a word you just learnt?
I've heard the word twice now, all right?
I learned about it yesterday. Going on field to get pierced and split in two?
Yeah.
Buttered
roasted
up.
With Monterey on field?
Roasted with Monterey on field? One of the new designs will be black and white letters and the other would be white with teal letters. Both designs will have the words Idaho at the top and world famous potatoes along the bottom.
Yeah.
Black
That's
license
actually
plate.
Cool.
That is actually
go.
Sick.
I'd kind of go the white with teal Idaho potato.
And only $70 plus regular registration fees for the initial issuance of the plate.
I am springing for the baked potato plate, though.
Your plates are so cheap. What the
That's so cheap.
We sold ours to like private. We privatized our personalized private license plates, which is stupid.
In Queensland?
I thought maybe it's in Queensland. I don't know. But it, definitely in Queensland, they are a private enterprise now, which it's free money. They give you money for a piece of garbage that goes on your, like.
Yeah.
You. What are we doing?
What are we doing? Yeah, this is crazy. So Eaton says this is going to be a specialty plate, so it'll be more expensive. The Idaho Potato Commission will receive $25 and the state highway account will receive $45 in proceeds from each initial purchase of the black plate. Renewing the black license plate will cost $50, with $15 going to the commission, $35 going to the state highway account. So the Potato Commission's making bank from this.
Mm, yeah.
I guess it's a significant part of the state, right?
Yeah, the Potato Commission runs Idaho. That's sort of an open secret.
Everybody knows it.
I want to see the house the potato commissioner lives in.
Oh, me too. And Senator Lori Den Hartog, she's going to show up dead in a week for that dissenting yeah. vote. You know it.
Against it.
You can't run against a potato commission.
Yeah. See, here we go. Our classic plates start from $200 or $195, which is a black and white. You don't even get a personalized number for that.
Oh, it's just to get like the black plate?
Just to get the black plate. And then it is $500 Australian dollars to get a colored personalized plate.
Our plates are so fucking boring. There's no pictures. There's no baked potatoes.
Yeah, or you can get one with the sports team on it.
Oh, you can.
For $500.
At sports team.
You can get sports team. Or you can get it Euro style for $775. This is such a good scam.
I do like the Euro style.
Where's our money going? Like, where's our license plate money going?
Zero female potato commissioners.
That's very interesting.
It's an extremely male-dominated
industry. We are doing research for new, better varieties that are more heat and disease tolerant, Eaton said. We promote potatoes and are pretty successful at it all over the world. So the funding that will come from the plates will go to the commission so we can continue to do those things. So we can continue to promote potatoes.
Just in case you haven't heard about them yet.
I don't think you need to promote potatoes.
No, well, we did this in Australia a couple of years back, right? Where they're like, everyone just goes in and they pick the brown potato. They pick whatever's in front of them, the cheapest potato, but you actually need to think about it a lot. And here's all the different potatoes. And on one hand, I do agree. The choice of potato type for a dish.
It matters.
It matters.
It's very important, actually.
You're going to go into a roast with a flowery white potato?
Oh, what are you doing?
That's grandma style. You're messing it up.
You can't go to make a potato salad and buy whatever potato's in front of you.
No. You've got to know a little bit. But then they're also like, we're doing a big push for potatoes and I don't know if that ever works.
I just find this kind of food marketing really strange. Like we've had it recently, not obviously super recently, but where they just had ads for eggs for ages.
Yeah.
Like there's just been an ad for egg. It's like, I know about egg.
You all heard about egg?
Egg? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like these ads that you can have eggs for any meal of the day. It's like, I know that.
Yeah.
Turning the TV up and being like, everybody, keep it down. Hold on.
Yeah. You seen these things? What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Selling some sort of oblong
sphere around, they're bigger
round
at the bottom.
Thing?
And they're saying I can eat that?
Ovoid? They're ovoid?
Don't have to snatch it out of a nest myself.
You guys seeing this
extra
ovoid
strength
thing?
Through ovoid shape?
The white and teal design is not a specialty plate, so there'll be no additional fee on top of the regular registration fee. This will be the least expensive plate available for Idaho drivers.
We would be paying through the pants pocket.
Through the roof for a little bit of teal.
Goodness me, we are getting ripped off.
I'm getting slugged at the license plate, Bowser.
Don't let them privatize your personalized plates, people. It's from you to me.
Are they privatized in Queensland?
I think they're privatized.
I don't know.
Who's the money going to?
I thought they were all just like, hey, you already have to pay a bunch of money for car registration licenses and stuff. If you want something special, we are charging you through the ass. We are going to destroy you and your family.
Personalized plates, Queensland.
It's a highly respected joint venture between the Queensland government and private sector.
PPQ, Personalized Plates Queensland. Where is the money going?
I think it's going to
someone's pocket.
Personalized Plates
Some
Queensland.
Some guy. Yeah, that sort of seems that way. It's part owned by the government.
Idaho is certainly a region of America. Another region of America is Philadelphia. We're continuing on with some more regional bullshit here. This was sent in to us from Callum in Philadelphia.
It's our other favorite city.
Yep. And he sent us a story from NBC. Pirate's booty founder stages Long Island mutiny, declares he's mayor, and tries to fire village staff.
Could have just done a headline news on that one.
Yeah. A lot of meat on those bones.
Pirate's booty founder.
Let's dig in.
Now, I've never had Pirate's booty.
Pirate's booty? Is this like a restaurant?
No, it's a snack.
Oh, no.
It's like a bagged snack.
I was thinking sort of a wooden chest full of maybe doubloons, maybe gold, maybe gems.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm
the gems are
gold
set into
gems specifically.
A cup.
Overflowing out of
a chalice.
Chest.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. You open the chest,
yep.
And because there's so much treasure in it, it all slides out on the ground. It makes
I'm picturing that I come into the room and the chest's already open. And overflowing because it's so full that they couldn't even get the lid
closed.
Yeah,
open. Mm. The chest is so full and so
it's
almost
swollen.
You would say like
it's kind of ready to
with
explode.
Money.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Sort of.
I was going the cum stuff.
Okay.
Well, I was going the pregnant stuff.
Crazy.
Everybody's got their own thing, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, I was having a look at that stuff and I was like...
Field.com.
It looks like it tastes pretty good. The Pirate's Booty. I'd love to eat the Pirate's Booty.
I would love to eat the Pirate's Booty. They sound pretty good, actually.
Like a Pirate's Booty.
Like a puffed popcorn and
corn
rice
and
kind of thing
rice
or something?
Rice snack.
Okay.
Pirate's Booty.
I'd get down on that.
And
shit.
What does this have to do with...
Well, let's see.
The rest.
The mayoralship.
Everything else.
The founder of Pirate's Booty Snacks lost his chaotic bid for mayor of a tiny New York community after he claimed he was the village leader and had the authority to replace the entire local government, officials said Thursday.
Right?
You know how you do.
Oh, okay.
So it does say here that it didn't work out for him because... Eleanor Villafane, the incumbent mayor of Seacliff, defeated Pirate's Booty Snacks founder Robert Ehrlich 1,064-62.
Okay.
Jesus.
Didn't go great.
Okay. Not exactly close.
Defeated him on Tuesday in the village, which is about 26 miles northeast of Midtown Manhattan. Villafane.
That is so close. How the hell can you have a village? It's not a real village, right? This is like... When they say like Greenwich Village or whatever,
it's like a city, right?
It's like a city.
No, I think it's like a hamlet.
A hamlet?
Really? We got a hamlet situation?
New York hamlet on Long Island?
New York hamlet?
I was just watching an episode of Kitchen Nightmares from 2007. You know how you do. And Gordon Ramsay's in a New Jersey town. At a restaurant called Flamingos.
I don't think I've seen this one.
Full of like tropical bullshit. It was very good, and that just looked like a little country town, you know? And that's in New Jersey.
All right. Yeah, no, I always have trouble with the scale of Long Island, right? Because they got a lot of stuff on there.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's long.
It's long.
It's a Long Island.
It's a Long Island.
Is it actually a Long Island?
Villafane, or possibly Villafane, who could say, had been running unopposed for her third two-year term when Ehrlich jumped into the fray a week ago Monday. That's when Ehrlich went to Village Hall and, quote, presented a statement falsely asserting his authority as mayor, demanding access to office space, and declaring that the entire village staff was fired effective immediately and could not reapply for their jobs, the village said in a statement.
Okay. He just went there and was like, I'm the mayor.
Yeah. hey, I'm in charge of all of this place and also get out.
Hey, see all this stuff? I'm the mayor of it.
I founded Pirate's Booty.
That's right.
Yeah.
You dare. Don't look at me. Don't make eye contact with me. I founded Pirate's
I'm
Booty.
I'm above you. Yeah.
The statement continues, while village staff remained calm and professional throughout the incident, Ehrlich and his associates raised their voices, used profane language, made outlandish claims, and engaged in direct harassment of village personnel.
Don't be doing that.
Despite multiple requests to leave, they refused, creating a hostile, disruptive environment that required police intervention.
Oh my goodness. Very dramatic.
The brazen assertion stunned village officials who said they'd never seen or heard from Ehrlich before in any civic context.
You've got to, like, you wouldn't recognize this guy on sight, right? He would have had to declare himself the founder of Pirate's Booty
at
some point.
He would have had to, 100%.
Like, I assume he's like a, maybe like a rich eccentric.
Oh, I'm sure you would
even know.
You'd know him as the local rich fuckwit, surely.
Yeah.
From the indications here. Quote, to the best of my knowledge, he has never participated in any government entity, in any volunteer agency, any board or commission, village administrator Bruce Kennedy told NBC News on Thursday. Ehrlich rejected the election results, saying they were, quote, rigged and counted in secret.
Mm-hmm.
He said that poll workers weren't properly checking rolls, and he'd know, claiming that his supporters had made repeated visits to the voting booth.
God.
I'm not sure this is making the argument you think it's making, so.
Yeah.
I've found a picture of this guy. If you look up Robert. Not, there's two different guys of this name. One of them is a former representative, but if you look up Pirate's Booty Ehrlich, he is a eccentric looking fellow.
Quote, so one of my supporters voted three times, Ehrlich claimed to NBC News. Another one voted four times, and they didn't even realize he was coming back that many times. Me and my guys were doing crimes and nobody stopped us.
Yeah. And now I'm in charge.
Now I'm the boss. Ehrlich insists he and other village residents have power under the New York Government Reorganization and Citizen Empowerment Act to completely replace the village government structure with another. I don't want to dissolve the village. I want to consolidate the village, said Ehrlich, who calls himself the duly elected mayor of the, quote, incorporated village of Seacliff residents.
Yeah, I'm not mental or anything.
Incorporated sets off my sovereign citizen flags immediately.
Yeah, 100%, right? He's doing sovereign citizen stuff.
He continues, consolidation means that one entity, the ruling entity, the residents who actually are the boss of the other entity, could then absorb that entity into this entity, making everything run the way it is now, except without the abuse and fear and threats that come to this village.
I'm nodding my head, actually.
And I would also be nodding my head if I was at, like, the voting booth and someone was shouting
this
at
stuff,
me. You're going to vote for this, aren't you?
Swearing at me about this.
Look, there's a lot of we've slashed and burned research and development like globally, especially in America. I reckon, you know, maybe we need to put some money back into it. We need to put some money back into recreating the technology nerve stapling from Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to staple a few people's nerves.
Yeah.
I just think there are a few people that kind of need to hop in the contraption and just sort of get improved. Just get themselves kind of improved by technology, maybe by nerve stapling.
Yeah.
Maybe we just got to kind of like...
I also think, you know, maybe some of those Victorian doctors were right and a few people are having hysterics.
Yeah.
Need a little bit of laudanum. You know,
yeah.
Need to get jacked off by a doctor.
Get this guy a sounding rod.
Bring it back. Bring back the laudanum. I want it.
Please. Please.
Yeah. Let the shipments of Canadian laudanum start again.
Just let opium dens. Let's bring him back.
Yes. Hanging out with your friends on a little couch.
Hanging out with just laying around on the couch. That's harmless.
Smoking on a
better
long, cool looking
pipe. Be in the bar getting like drunk and violent, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it nicer to lay on a couch with your friends in the opium den?
It says so far to fall from a bar stool. But what if you were already on the ground?
Yep. What if you were lying on a nice little day bed and a Chinese guy in silk pajamas comes in every now and then, lights it up for you? Oh.
Yeah.
Gives you a little bit more.
Sir, would you like your long, elegant pipe lit?
Yes.
Absolutely. What a beautiful concept.
Please. Mm.
Get rid of that fentanyl stuff. Bring back the opium.
Yucky. You wouldn't need
it. Bring back the proper opium.
It's made by pharmacies. Opium? It's just poppy seeds.
Just
soaked
put
in
the
some water.
Codeine back behind the counter. Just let me have a little bit of codeine. Just to take the edge off.
Here's the thing, Theo.
Yes.
Poppies, they grow in the ground. They come from Mother Nature.
They come from nature.
You make something illegal
that's from nature.
You know,
from
the problem is when
so
all these
fucking fucked up.
All these labs get involved. You know,
that's right.
Doing all that science, putting all the chemicals in there. No, if you just get me that straight black tar opium and give it to me in my opium den where I get to lie down on the couch and somebody lights my big, elegant, long pipe, I'll be happy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we got to bring back putting a little bit of extra kind of oxycodone in the pack as well for... Yeah. You take enough to make it stop hurting, and then there's a little bit extra. Okay,
there's a little bit extra for you. There's
one
the one that gets
you.
Rid of the pain, and then there's one more for
there's
me.
One maybe for your housemate if he gives you $20.
Exactly.
It's like making movies. I think it should be a one for them, one for me situation. You know,
yeah.
That's how they should be doing prescriptions.
When I was in the hospital after my sinus surgery, the nurse would come by every 2 hours and be like, how are you feeling? Do you want another painkiller? And I'd be like, oh, maybe one. And she was great. She was just like, oh, you're allowed to have this many. Like this every 2 hours, you're allowed to have two.
And you're like, oh, well, if it's the doctor's orders, I probably should take two.
I was like,
those.
Oh, I guess I'll have whatever the maximum I can have is then.
If you insist.
If you insist. They make you take it in front of them, though, so you can't take a little home for later.
Well, see, my thing is, I'm really nice and empathetic, and I would hate to make the nurse feel like, you know, rejected, or like I didn't want her to do her job, you know.
Yeah.
So because I'm so polite, I would definitely be gobbling up all the painkillers they could give me, like a little piggy.
100%, just like a little piggy, like a little painkiller piggy.
Here's another normal thing to say. Ehrlich said he has collected 1,900. And it's in quotes here, votes, at his coffee shop for the past 4 years, saying such an unusual ballot has holy precedent.
Oh, holy precedent. Do you think he's just like harassing his customers, being like, would you vote for me? Would you vote for me as a mayor?
Yeah. Hey, just put your little signature, your John Hancock down on this. Yeah.
Just sign here.
1,900 votes since our election, he said. The longest election in history was from 1268 to 1271 when they couldn't find a pope. So actually, I have the longest election in history.
What?
Yeah, you don't.
Asking people every now and then if they'd vote for you when they come in your coffee shop, I'm not sure that is the same as having an election, actually.
This is absolutely the CEO mind.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like when you get too much money from, like, you made some chips and you got too much money and, like, it melted your brain.
Yeah, and you're like, you know what? Now I'm the Duke.
Mm. Yeah.
Turns out I'm the Duke. I've worked
divine right? I have the divine right of kings within myself.
Divine right of kings. I made some chips. Now I got the divine right.
It's weird that I've never got to wear a crown before.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, you know? In theory, Ehrlich or anyone else could submit a petition with 10% of the village's registered voters asking for Seacliff to be dissolved. Once such signatures were verified, a village-wide vote would be held to ask whether Seacliff should be eliminated and then folded into the town of Oyster Bay, Kennedy said. Quote, he had a FedEx-type envelope that was sealed that he was waving around, allegedly with petition signatures, Kennedy said. And when he was asked, do you want to submit that? He said, no.
You guys need some new income brackets on your taxation.
Really do.
Yeah.
You gotta really pump that number
gotta
up.
Give this guy something else to worry about.
This sort of shit stops.
Ehrlich invented pirate's booty in the 1980s, making the puffed cheese, corn and rice snack a ubiquitous presence at checkout stands across America. Then in 2013, B&G Foods Incorporated purchased Robert's American Gourmet Food, which owns the Pirate's Booty brand, for $195 million.
God.
And then that group got purchased a couple of years later for like $450 million.
Yeah, okay.
Despite his wealth, Ehrlich said Thursday he plans to remain active in local political politics.
It's not local despite as well. This is exactly what wealthy people love doing because they have fucking nothing else to do.
He's
get
got
a job.
Ton of free time now because he made a bunch of chips in the 80s.
Sorry, NBC, are you really writing the sentence, remain active in local political politics?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on now.
Well, they fired all the editors.
Asked whether he might...
And also the writers as well.
Asked whether he might take another shot at running for mayor in 2 years using more conventional methods that could land him on the ballot, he said... No, I'm mayor now. Why do I have to wait 2 years? I am mayor at this moment. I can write an executive order.
You know what? That's beautiful. Like self-belief.
Yeah.
We've got to carry ourselves this way more in our day-to-day life. Like think of yourself. You're hot. You're amazing. You're the mayor.
You're the mayor.
Just live your life that way.
Yeah.
If you
and
weren't
every time
the
he
mayor.
Walks down the street, people like clap and say, look, here comes the mayor.
Here comes the mayor. It's a pirate's booty guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's
a
question for you.
Chair to sit down in and wheel around in.
If I wasn't the mayor, why would I tell everyone I was?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Why would I be wearing this crown?
Mm. Man, sometimes you march into a local council meeting and you say, man, this place is corrupt. Something in here stinks. And other times you want to talk about smells of a different kind. It's time for smells that make you go, hmm. What's that smell? What's that smell? What's that smell? What's that smell? It's dang.
Truth is, I feel so angry. And the truth is, I feel so fucking sad. And the truth is,
it stinks like sex in here.
From the BBC, ancient Egyptian mummies still smell nice, study finds.
They smell kind of nice with it.
I'm picturing how this study worked.
Oh, no, they go into it.
Pretty good. You guys smelling this? Even after 5,000 years...
Sniff of this?
Even after 5,000 years in a sarcophagus, mummified bodies from ancient Egypt still smell quite nice, scientists have discovered. Researchers who examined 9 mummies found that though there was some difference in the intensity of their odors, all could be described as woody, spicy, and sweet.
Well, they're perfuming them, right?
Yeah.
They're spicing them things up.
Yeah, they're wheeling one of these bad boys out at dusk.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
They say that recreating the composition of the smells chemically will allow others to experience a mummy's whiff and help to tell when the body's inside may be starting to rot.
Huh.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We went to the ancient Egypt exhibit when it was coming through Canberra, and they had a thing where you could, like, sniff a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
And one was like, you know, they had like, oh, this is what frankincense smelled like and shit. And one was, one might have been like an ancient Egyptian's breath, I think. There was one real bad one in there. We want to share the experience we had smelling the mummified bodies, so we're reconstructing the smell to be presented in the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, Cecilia Bembibre, one of the researchers, told BBC's Radio 4 Today program.
Why don't you just let me smell the mummy?
I could do without it.
Why gotta recreate it?
I don't need to smell
the
mummy.
Just let me have a sniff.
Those big glass cases that you have.
Open them up. Crack it
open.
Put
a little nose hole in there for me.
Yeah.
Put a hole where I can just poke my nose in, see what's up, see what's going on. During the mummification process, ancient Egyptians would surround the body with pleasant smells as an important part of preparing a spirit to enter the afterlife.
Yeah, you can't go into heaven stinky.
No.
No, God no. You got to get perfumed up.
Yeah.
You don't want everybody in the afterlife looking around and going, what the fuck is that smell? Oh, it's Tutankhamun. Hey. Hey. Still smell like that, huh? Even in the afterlife, okay.
Everyone was stinky back then. Come on now.
Oh, you didn't get any unguents, hey? All right.
Well, we kind of got oiled up here. Yeah. No, you can't get it here. We don't have any unguents up here. No. You kind of had to get it back down there.
Back down there, yeah. Clove oil? No cloves up here, unfortunately. So.
Ooh.
I guess you're stinky forever in the afterlife.
Stinky for eternity, huh? Okay. It's not what I would have chosen for myself, but okay.
Imagine putting on the Lynx Xbox deodorant and then getting hit by a car.
Until you appear in heaven immediately afterwards. Fuck. Because it's my belief personally is that, you know, the clothes you die in are the ones you get for the whole afterlife.
Yeah. If you're like the guy whose mum has a sticker on her car that says like Callum gone too soon, 18 forever. You're smelling like Lynx Xbox up there. You know what I mean. You know the kind of guy.
Yeah, I do.
The guy that died from driving his car 200 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. And he's showing up looking different too in heaven.
Oh, yeah. He's wearing those clothes forever though.
As a result, pharaohs and members of the nobility were adorned with oils, waxes, and balms during the mummification process. Quote, "In films and books, terrible things happen to those who smell mummified bodies," said Dr. Ben Bibre. Well, don't make something bad happen to me by getting me to smell
now
it.
We bring it to you.
I don't want to smell it then. That does seem like something that would happen in a Goosebumps story.
Yes.
You smell
sniff the mummy?
You die. Don't sniff the mummy or you die in 7 days.
Quote, "We were surprised at the pleasantness of them." The authors of the academic study, published in the Journal of the American Chemical Society on Thursday, had to get the smell from inside the sarcophagus without interfering with the mummy inside.
Yeah, I was actually working for them, but they fired me after I grabbed the mummy's foot.
Yep.
Kind of like took a huge breath, like sniffing their toes.
Oh, come on. On field.
They said it was very sniffing. Damaging to the mummy to have its whole foot inside my mouth.
Yeah, they are for the taste test.
Oh, come on.
Surprisingly sweet. Musky. Hey, I don't suppose any of these mummies have been like wearing high heels for a couple of thousand years.
Can we get this done, please? For fuck's sake.
No, I think we're really hitting our stride on this.
No stinky feet gear, please.
I'm proposing an exhibition where you can go and members of the public can suck on some little toes to see what it was like being a serf.
Oh, boy. The researchers from UCL and the University of...
Oh, Ljubljana? Ljubljana.
Ljubljana? Thank you.
Ljubljana.
They did this by inserting a tiny tube so they were able to measure the scent without taking any physical samples.
I guess that works too.
I guess so.
It just doesn't seem...
It's not the same.
It's not really the same.
Not really the same.
Quote... "We know smells were essential to social, religious, and personal practices in ancient Egypt," says Dr. Ali Lukes, that lady who got yelled at online for a while. Remember her?
No.
No?
This lady who, like, she'd done a PhD at Cambridge about, like, the sort of the politics of people's smells and odors.
The politics of smell?
Yeah. And then all these people were like, "I'm going to kill you." People real riled up was that somebody was posting something about landlords kicking out, like, you know, Indian people from houses because they're like, "We don't want them to cook with their spices smelly."
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, like the whole thing of smell has a big impact on like politics and othering people and perceptions in society. Okay. And all these people were like, "Wrong, you're racist. You're the one who's racist, actually," as people do. So people went fucking insane about this woman online for a couple of weeks.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. I don't know enough about that to say.
Go on, have a little click around. Oh, I think she was being normal and she made the mistake of posting something on the website formerly known as Twitter.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm seeing that on her wiki. Okay.
Yeah, that has anything to do with race. Posting anything that has anything to do with race on Twitter.
In November, oh, they're not being normal about that on Twitter?
Which is, yeah. Right when things had gone off the rails.
Over on X, the Everything
over
app.
Over on X, yep. The Everything app.
Over on X, the Racism Incubator.
These days.
Mattia Strilich?
Sure.
Man, Slovenian names, I tell you. Another member of the study team told the Associated Press, the scent may even suggest what social class a mummy was from.
Yeah.
We believe that this approach is potentially of huge interest to other types of museum collections, he said. That's right. A lot of jobs for sniffing coming up in the near future. Yeah.
So if you're a nasty little freak, it might be something.
Could be the job for you. Yeah,
could be something in there for you. If you're lucky.
I don't like it yet.
I don't like smelling stuff personally.
Don't like smelling stuff. It's kind of happening all the time,
like,
isn't it?
Smell free, you know?
You'd like to live in a scent-free world.
Yeah, ideally.
Like sealed in a cube or something.
Yeah, I'd like to ideally be sealed in a cube or like boiled and then mashed, crushed or whatever we were speaking about. Any of these things.
Pricked with a fork, baked.
Pricked with a fork.
For an hour. Yeah.
Baked for an hour.
I think that like most like natural like herby smells are nice, but I think if you're trying to make something smell nice for a long period of time, all of those smells are nasty.
Yeah. I think
if it's like in an oil or whatever, it hurts my head to smell.
I also
want to be scent free in a cube.
I don't know. I don't know if it's anything. Like, I don't know what it is, but like the older I get, I feel like the more sensitive I'm getting to artificial smells all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't walk past the Lush shop.
Oh, man. Walking past the doorway of like the Lush store makes me go.
I can't stand it.
The people working there, it must be like the people who work in like factory towns and their olfactory senses have just said, just cancel that one out.
Yeah, they just
you don't need to worry
anymore,
about that
surely.
Thing that's killing you.
Yeah.
I got into an Uber a little while ago, and a guy had one of those, like, you know, the air fresheners that are like full of a little liquid and they sit like over the vent. And he was like blasting multiple of those in this closed car. And I got in and was just immediately felt like I'd been hit with a dart gun.
It's
I don't
not
know
good.
How people
I
are living like this.
I can't deal with it. I'm not good with it.
I'm sensitive, so
yeah.
Maybe other people are having these problems.
I'm also a sensitive pedal. It's
you're
true.
A sensitive smeller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh
my goodness.
We've all got some sort of sensory issue.
That's strange.
Odd.
probably just a coincidence.
Yeah. Also, sound. I don't like a lot of sound either. Yeah. I don't like flashing lights.
Same.
So sort
like
of light
textures.
As well. I don't like strong taste. I don't like. Yeah, textures weird me out, especially like food textures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Kind of like odd food textures or the stuff that I'm not familiar with.
Oh, when a fire engine goes past and it's loud and all its lights
when
are flashing.
When it's loud and it's flashing lights. When things are too hot or too cold.
Yeah, I don't like being hugged. And we could just keep kind of going this.
See, I don't either. And you came to our house the other night.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I
we had the most
in.
Awkward goodbye
awesome.
Hug.
but coming in, there was like that moment of like, do we hug? And we both decided no, and then continued.
Nice. Well, folks, let us leave you with this thought today, which is that whatever it is that you have an almost unreasonable seeming to other people sensitivity about, you are actually correct.
You're right about it.
Yeah, most senses are bad, and that's why we have them. It's to detect danger, and danger is all around us.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are under threat at all hours. Yeah.
At all times, look for the exits.
Oh, boy. Thank you for listening to our silly show. Head over to patreon.com/BuntaVista if you would like 2 episodes of the show every week. Maybe you do.
Yeah.
I can't make that decision for you. Actually, you know what? I'm making that decision for you.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you're a nasty little piggy. And you need more.
Why not? Why not? You're too cool to listen to podcasts. You're already listening to one right now. You're not fooling anyone, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Get him.
Folks, thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.